Welcome to the Talking Nutrition Podcast, where twice a week, you'll learn about all things health, fitness, and mindset. I'm your host, Yoel Investors, and it's my goal to simplify nutrition, provide you with actionable strategies, and teach you repeatable systems so you can create real results at last. Now, real quick, you won't find any crazy restrictive diets or quick fixes here, and the stuff that we talk about is basic, easy to apply, and effective. However, the only way to create change is by putting what you learn into action. Now go ahead and grab yourself a coffee, pour me one while you're at it, and let's dive into the episode. What's up and welcome back to Talking Nutrition. Today's episode 87 already. It's kind of nuts. Like every time I say that number, I'm like, oh shit, it's actually, time actually flies when you're having fun. I know it's a cheesy thing to say, but it's actually true. Loving the podcast. We started, I think, June, July last year, and it's been really cool. So the reason we do this, right, even before we get into this episode, it's just really awesome to talk about this stuff, which is a passion. And like I recently said, it's also kind of like responsibility because like, I know that we can help people with this, and I know like that we need to get this out to more people, but like, it's cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's cool to talk about these kind of things because I know it's going to help you. And I feel like, especially today, it's one that a lot of, you know, you listeners may be familiar with. And it's like, you get on that scale and it just ruins your moment, you know, your day. You get on that scale, and even though like you think, oh, yesterday I had a hard workout, my nutrition was dialed, and I went for a long walk, and I went extra hard when I did my cardio, even though you did all that stuff, the scale goes up. And then you think like, okay, what the hell am I doing wrong here? You go into a fat loss phase, and you still see your weight bump up at 1 to 2 kilos, or, you know, like 3-ish pounds or whatever. And you're like, well, like what am I doing wrong here? It can be very frustrating if you don't know how to use the data to your advantage. And we're going to talk about that today. But this one needs to, like, I've written this, like, this was my first blog back in 2022 about weight fluctuations, you know? And I kind of go back to it sometimes just to kind of like see, you know, because like we all start somewhere. It's kind of fun, you know? But it's an ongoing topic. And it's such a common conversation. I've been doing this for years now. And every single week for years, we've talked about weight and shit, you know? And this comes up so often. It comes up so often. And even our people who know this stuff, who know that weight fluctuations are completely normal and are to be expected, right? Even them, I still need to point it out sometimes. And it just makes sense. I've had this myself where I was in a bulk, and all of a sudden my weight dropped and I was adding more and more food. And I was like, well, my weight's been stable and now it's dropping, which is like crazy. You know, like I dropped like a kilo in one day. Why is that? Well, we'll find out today. But that being said, right, because we do this to help you and we love sharing this stuff, you know, it's stuff that we know is very important to understand. And I know that with nutrition, like it's the Wild West out there. And just any fitness stuff on social media. So that being said, do us a quick but massive favor by dropping a quick rating on Spotify or Apple. Quick 5 stars. Because here's the thing. We do this for free. No ads. No bullshit, right? It's just free information. We're trying to help here. And we need to get this out to more people. And the best way we can do that is through those ratings. That will actually push the podcast to more people. And hey, if you've been here, if you've got a couple episodes under your belt and you really like what you're listening to and you haven't yet, it takes like 5 seconds, right? Go in your app, click that 5-star, boom, there you go. It's really quick. And I know because I've dropped a bunch of 5-star ratings on the podcast that I listen to. And hey, if you're new here, welcome. Like I'm stoked to have you because I know that with nutrition, once again, it's sometimes like confusing, but it doesn't have to be. And all the stuff is all very basic. Sure, there's more complex topics. But a lot of what you can do to improve things is very, very basic. Now, today we're going to talk about understanding that weight gain and loss does not equal fat gain and fat loss. Why your weight can be up or down overnight, right? A lot can change. The reason keto and, you know, similar low-carb approaches come with really quick weight loss, but also really quick weight regain, once you go back to, in quotes, normal, when you do eat your carbs again. And then, of course, how to track progress, because there are better ways to do it than just weighing yourself like once a month or once every week or whatever it is. So if you're doing that, first of all, stop doing that. Start doing it every single day or at least 3 times a week. And we do this with all of our clients. And even if they don't even care about that number, we need it because it's the thing. And last time we talked about, right, calories burned, we don't know that. So we need to control your food intake and we need to see what happens on the scale so that we can make changes. I also want to talk about something that is also not very known, and that is managing your transformation in terms of like how fast you're losing or gaining weight. So here's the thing. Fat loss and weight loss are not the exact same thing. They do go hand in hand. I will say that. But you can gain weight without gaining body fat. You can lose weight without losing body fat. You can gain fat without gaining weight, I think, right? And we can lose fat without losing weight. Make sense? I know it's a little vague, but it's not inherently like the same thing, right? It's like, hey, your weight might be up like 1, 2, 3, 4 pounds, whatever it is, right? A couple of kilos. Let's say like 1 or 2%. And that would be completely normal. This will happen with every single person we work with and we have worked with. This happens during every phase, reverse diets, especially maintenance, fat loss, muscle gain, performance. There's always fluctuations. And there's so many factors that lead to that. But most of the time, it's not body fat. If you see like how many calories you really need to gain, and I actually lost that. I can't remember the number. Let me see real quick. How many calories 1 pound of fat? I forgot that number. I know it's like multiple thousands. Yeah. So let me see real quick. Basically, and I don't like to use this number, but I wanted to put it out there because right now when I look it up, I see a lot of blogs that are kind of like busting that myth. But let me see real quick. It also doesn't matter as much, but I think it was like the claim was like 3,500 pounds, sorry, calories would lead to like a pound of fat gain. But as we're talking about this, like I see there's a lot of blogs here, like talking about that it's false. So I don't know. Let me see real quick. Routine activities. Yeah. Anyway, the reason we never, and I've never used that number with any of my clients, right? The reason being like it's just not helpful. And every day you burn a different amount of calories and every day you're going to get a different amount of calories in. So like I just, in this case, like I just wanted to use that number to give you an idea of like if it's 3,500 or whatever it is, like it doesn't matter. To actually gain, actually, right? So actually gain a pound of body fat or let's say half a kilo, right? It actually takes way more calories than you think. Now, here's the thing. When you see that weight fluctuation, don't freak out. And I know it's like we're emotional beings, right? We tend to like look at that. And like I said, like last time I used the bank app as an example, like I would be stressed about looking at that bank app, right? Because as a kid, like I wasn't good with money. So like, it's like you watch that number and it makes you feel a certain way. And usually it's not great. Or at least if we want to lose weight and we watch that scale number, right? And it's up, even though you really want to lose, it can be very confronting. But guess what? With the data, we can start to make those changes that we need to be making. So now knowing that weight gain and fat gain are not the same, right? That already kind of gives you a little bit of, okay, cool, good. Maybe a little bit of a weight off your shoulder, right? But then, why is the scale up? Why is it up? Well, the more obvious ones, and for some reason, like sometimes we forget this stuff, but the more obvious ones are, right, because you're going to be weighing in the morning. Hey, when was your last meal? Was it, did you even have a meal like right before getting on the scale? I don't know. Did you eat at 10 in the evening, 6 in the evening, 8 in the evening? What did you eat? How much did you eat? What type of foods, right? Was it very carb heavy or was it very salty? Salt is a big one, by the way. Hydration status, which also kind of like goes, you know, plays into salt and stuff. The just overall food quality, like if we have a whole bunch of processed stuff and maybe it's something we don't do well with, or, you know, can lead to some digestive issues, which, and you know what it is? Like most of these factors, it's all like water retention related. And we'll talk more in a sec about that. But like I said, hydration status, if you've been to the bathroom or not, like if you took a dump or not yet, you know, those kind of things, like they're all super basic. And sometimes we forget like, hey, that stuff literally influences kind of like what's in your stomach, which depending on like how salty it is, can lead to more water retention. A bad night of sleep can lead to water retention. Stress increases cortisol, right? It's that stress hormone. When cortisol is up, you hold on to more water. So you're stressed, right? That could even impact the skill. That being said, and let me actually say this as a side note. A lot of times, we may put someone into a fat loss phase and they don't see any weight loss yet for week one, week two even because, you know, we do look at the averages, right? Even with the average, we still don't see that. But I always tell them like, hey, stick to the plan and you'll see. And what happens often is, and it's not like an unofficial term, the whoosh effect. But all of a sudden, it just starts to drop after like 2 weeks. It's like you put in, you go into a deficit. And a deficit, right? A calorie deficit is literally a form of stress to the body. Pretty big one too. Especially if it's for a long time at very low calories. But it increases cortisol, or it can, right? Cortisol leading to water retention, which shows up on the scale. Hey, you might be losing body fat, but with that water weight being a little bit higher, it looks like nothing is happening. So here you are getting frustrated because in your head, you're not losing fat yet, but stick to the plan. And I had to bring this one up because it happens not all the time. And not even like 50% of the time, but I've seen it quite often. So those first 2-3 weeks of a calorie deficit, like don't expect that drop to happen right away. Sometimes it does. When I go in, like it's instantly. I've had a client, like I had a client who had the same targets for 3 weeks and he was like, should we change it? I was like, we're pushing it, but like, let's see for week three. And guess what? He started to drop and just kept going for weeks and weeks and weeks on end afterwards. So he was definitely in a deficit. He was definitely losing body fat the first 2 weeks already, and 3 weeks, I should say. But it just didn't show on the scale yet. Where were we? There's also training. If you've had especially like a heavy lag day, you know, but inflammation leads to also water retention. Alcohol is a big one. Well, I mean, like, first of all, like alcohol could potentially lead to eating more salty foods usually. Okay, that's again a factor, but drinking alcohol also leads to more water retention. The list goes on. Carbohydrate intake, glycogen status, and a menstrual cycle. It's a big one too. I always tell dudes, like, hey, like men have it easy. Like we can't fucking complain about that skill being up and down, whatever. Like we don't have to go through a cycle that legit has like 4 different weeks with completely different like hormonal like profiles where shit's going to change. Like not just like on the skill hormonally, mentally, like there's so much stuff going on. So I sometimes tell dudes like, hey, just man up and like deal with it because hey, women actually have it way worse and it is unfair. It is unfair. Especially knowing how much pressure society puts on women when it comes to dieting and like with like the models and, you know, everyone being like skinny and shit. I know a lot is changing, but still, you know, that's why also here, right? We really try to educate and we really try to, I mean, that's literally why I'm doing this podcast. It's like, we want to make sure that we understand the body and how nutrition can affect the body so that you, no matter where you're at in your cycle, if you're female, or no matter, right, when you have your bigger meals, your salty meals, like stress sleep, whatever it is, like we understand the data and we can work with it. So often do I see people come back from vacation, a couple pounds heavier, a couple kilos heavier. And I tell them, don't worry, I just get on that scale and you'll see. Like go on, like legit, like get on the scale every single day once you come back home. And assuming that you go back to eating your mostly minimally processed foods, you're tracking your food, getting your steps in, a lot of times, and I've seen this so many times, like after summer, like they would come back home, which, oh, by the way, flying can lead to water retention in the body. But you would legit see from kind of like, let's say they come back on like Sunday, okay, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and just keeps going down. And for a full week, it would just keep going down. And then they were pretty much back at baseline. And hey, by the way, like even if it's a couple pounds or a couple kilos, like it's not even the end of the world. I would say gaining some is acceptable depending on where you're at. You know, we don't plan for dieting anyway during vacation, you know, but it's like, okay, so knowing now that different foods, right, digestion, right, the flights, like there's so many things can influence a skill. Okay, cool. Then we can at least chill a little bit more when it comes to kind of like freaking out about this stuff. And trust me, like I've also been there, right? I've also been there. And like I said last time, you know, especially with the money stuff, which is a different measure, but it's very similar. And I also did struggle with that, right? It did kind of like make me feel shitty. So it's, I do feel, I have been there, right? In multiple ways. So that being said, we talked about carbs and those kind of things. And I briefly mentioned glycogen. Fast weight loss from like keto and carnivore and similar, you know, low carb approaches. Guess what happens? So there's a few things here to unpack. I got to explain glycogen first, which sounds like very technical, but it's simply a form or storage form of carbohydrate. So when you eat carbs, right, your body can either use it for energy or it can kind of like restructure it and store it in your muscle tissue and liver, mostly muscle. Like that's your fuel tank for the most part, a little bit in your liver. And that would be from fructose. But here's the thing. Per gram of glycogen in your muscle, right, and liver, per gram, your body pulls in just about 3 to 4 grams of water, which is not bad weight. Remember, it's in the muscle. If stuff is in the muscle, it'll look a little bit more full. It'll work a little bit better. By the way, also one that I got to mention, creatine, very popular supplement, also gets stored in the muscle and pulls in water into the muscle, right? So, and that's not even bad weight. It's not bloat, right? Water weight is not the same as bloat. So knowing that, guess what happens? So imagine, so carbohydrate is your primary fuel source. And glycogen, right? Your muscle and your liver, like I said, gets stored there. That glycogen, the fuel, what happens when we go with a keto or similar? You cut carbohydrate. You remove that fuel. Guess what happens now? Your fuel tank slowly goes down and down and down and down. Now your body, right? Because you're not dying, right? Your body can still run off fats, right? That's your secondary fuel source. And your body does very well at kind of like switching over. And it can also, you know, when it comes to like ketosis and stuff, which I don't have a lot of knowledge about, I will say that, but let's call it like your backup energy system. Now, I'm not bashing it. It can be very beneficial in certain medical conditions. That's what it was created for people with seizures. That's legit. Like that's why it was created, but okay. There is a time and place for it. But what happens is, remember, because your muscle, it stores sugar, it stores glycogen, it doesn't store fat, right? Knowing that there's no sugar coming in, carbohydrate, right? Knowing that that's not coming in, we can imagine, hey, all of a sudden your fuel tank kind of gets depleted. So not only are you getting fewer carbs in, You don't have as many carbs in your stomach, right? And with that, there's already less water retention. Then the glycogen kind of goes out of your system, out of your muscles. That gets depleted. Both your glycogen as well as the water weight also goes. So yeah, absolutely. When you cut out carbs, you're going to see like super fast weight loss for that reason, for the most part. Hey, what's up? Sorry to interrupt. I promise we'll keep it short. As you already know, we don't do ads here, and I really just do this podcast out of passion for helping everyday people like yourself learn more and get results. Now, because I do this absolutely for free, would it be cool to ask you for a quick rating on Spotify or Apple? You can do it while you're listening. It really just takes a few seconds, and it would actually mean the world to me and help us grow the show and reach more people like you. Thank you so much. Now let's get back to the episode. So that being said, do you see fast weight loss? Absolutely. Is it fast fat loss? Nope. It is not. And guess why? Guess why these often unnecessary protocols, guess why you get that quick weight regain as well? Because it gives you an illusion of quick fat loss. You think this keto thing is amazing because I lost so many kilos in this first week. Yeah, but it's mostly fucking water. And losing water weight doesn't make you feel or look much better. Well, both, but the goal is to lose fat, right? Like I said, weight and fat are not the same thing. So that is why oftentimes, not even oftentimes, every time you reintroduce carbohydrate, you will see an increase in the skill again too. Now, also there, I will have to repeat the same thing. Also there, you're replenishing glycogen. You're eating carbs again. There's more food volume with that more water. There's more glycogen in your system, in your muscle, right? There's water with that. Of course, you're going to gain some weight. But most people don't know that because they fall for the clickbaity shit on Instagram, right? They fall for the strict meal plans and they get put on something super low carb. They get the illusion of quicker results. They go back to normal, right? In quotes, normal, whatever that means. They regain 5 to 10 pounds or even kilos. They get this idea of, hey, I'm a fucking failure. I might as well stop trying. And that's very unfair. And this is stuff you don't really hear about that often, which is frustrating if you think about it, right? I didn't know that like 11 years ago when I went through my weight loss journey. Like, I had no idea. I did like this juice cleanse, this green juice thing based on like a documentary. It's a terrible idea, but anyway. Did I lose weight? Oh, hell yeah. I did. I lost a lot of weight in a very short time. Was it body fat? No. It's mostly just water weight. But I didn't know that. So guess how I felt when I regained that weight again in no time, as soon as I started eating again, even though I was eating healthy or eating, you know, carbs, I should say. It was all healthy stuff, regained that weight. Why is it important to still know your body weight then? Right? If it fluctuates all the time, here's the thing. It can help us figure out your maintenance calories. We briefly talked about this last time, but you want to look at your food intake, your calories, right? Your maintenance. Hey, the only real way to go there or to find out, sorry, is by going there. So instead of going off a calculator, use that as your kind of like your estimate, but then work towards that. See how your body responds. If you're losing weight, gaining weight, whatever, you can use those data points to make decisions and adjust your nutrition on, or maybe even your steps and stuff. Here's why it's important. When you go in a lean gaining phase, a bulk, whatever you want to call it, the goal is muscle gain, not just weight. If you just want to gain weight, eat as many calories as you want, and you're going to get fat, and you're going to gain a whole bunch of weight and some muscle, maybe if you lift weights. But here's the thing. If you want to mostly gain muscle, you need to go slow between 0.25 and 0.5% of weight gain per week. You would go for that and you would slowly increase, right? You're training hard, you're sleeping well, recovering well, you're eating well, and you're controlling your rate of weight gain. That's why this is important. You cannot do this intuitively. You cannot do this without weight. And you will not know calories burned outside of a lab setting. So this needs to be the way to do it. If you want to have the optimal ratio when it comes to fat gain first weight gain, muscle gain first fat gain, because you will always, during a bulk, during a lean gaining phase, right? Even though it's called lean gaining, you are always going to gain some body fat, and that is okay. It comes with the deal. We're going to have to deal with it. Unless you're on steroids or you have newbie gains, which is like a very new kind of like stimulus, which would be great if you knew. Awesome. But other than that, generally speaking, you're going to mostly gain muscle and gain very little body fat if you go slow enough. Anything faster will just be body fat. Now, on the other hand, if you go down in weight, you want to lose weight. We always talk about weight loss, but it's fat loss, right? You want to lose fat. You don't just care about the number on the scale and that's everything. Like, that number on the scale might not even change and you could lose body fat and build muscle and look better. What do you care about more? You actually looking better in the mirror, looking better naked, or that number on the scale? You tell me. Of course, it's the way you look. It's the way you feel. It's your confidence. Fat loss and weight loss are not the same thing. However, here's the cool thing. And again, you can do this intuitively. We want to look at how fast you are losing weight. Why? Because between 0.5 and 1%, not kilos or pounds, 1%, 0.5 up to 1% of weight loss per week seems to be like optimal. That's where you lose body fat, but you maintain your muscle. That's a key point here, maintaining that muscle. We're not just trying to look lighter, because guess what? If you just care about getting lighter, you will look exactly like that, lighter. You're not going to look more toned, more shredded, jacked, lean. You're going to just look the same, just kind of like lighter. And that's the sad reality of a lot of people who try these very strict diets. So that is why, also here, we control your rate of weight loss. When we control that rate of weight loss, we make sure that you lose body fat and you hold on to that muscle as much as possible. Also there, you may still lose a little bit, but it's not going to be that much of a difference. Make sense? Now, also doing a reverse diet, it's just a nice way to look at your weight and use that as kind of like your way of adjusting. And we talked about this a couple episodes ago. So you now understand why your weight fluctuates. Now you understand why keto and anything low carb comes with fast weight loss, not fat loss, but weight loss and weight regain. And you now understand that you got to, you know, control your weight gain and weight loss phases. Do the best of your abilities. Don't go too fast. There's also something to be said for not going too slow. I will say that. A lot of coaches, including myself in the past, are becoming too scared of gaining or having clients gain weight in a muscle gaining phase, becoming too scared of going with a, in quotes, aggressive calorie deficit. Guess what? You can absolutely lose weight and aim to be around 1% of weight loss per week. Now, let me say this. Don't use this as kind of like, hey, I need to be losing 1%. Like, no, we're not going to know. It's something that we can aim for. But ultimately, you got to just focus on your actions and then we can adjust maybe bi-weekly, maybe every 3-4 weeks, kind of depending on the case. But don't just cut calories every single time. And this is where a coach can help you. And I'm not here to pitch coaching, but if you have no experience with this stuff, then I always recommend, whether that's with me or with one of our future coaches, because we're going to announce our second coach very soon, a little insider info for you, with, I don't know, Christine, right? Any other coaches that you vibe with, right? If you don't have the experience and you don't know how to make macro adjustments or how to interpret the data, the weight, the measurements, and we'll talk about that in a sec, the photos, right? And you make emotional decisions and you let that skill decide your day, hey, maybe get a coach. Do it together. And I'm big on coaching because I invest in this stuff myself. I mean, it would be weird if a coach, right, I obviously believe in what I do, right? Why would I not be investing in coaching myself? Of course I do. And that's why I preach this stuff. That's why this is also not meant to be like a pitch, which, by the way, I have a waiting list right now, so I can't even take you on as a client. But like, the point here is that if you need to help, get the help so that you can go through those different phases, learn from proactively, and then you should be good on your own. Hey, maybe if you like the accountability, awesome. Yes, absolutely. That's the biggest part of coaching. But the education and the proactive learning that happens when you go through those different phases, and a good coach teaches you how to do that stuff and how to use the data and to just fully understand how everything works, that's so valuable. That's literally going to be served, like that's going to serve you for life, 100%. Given that you show up proactively and you actually like put in the work, right? Now, that being said, how to track progress. We've talked about weight enough already today, and you understand now why, you know, it fluctuates. But there's still a few other things that you want to track. First of all, your measurements. In our coaching system, so we have a three-phase system that's repeatable, basically. We never start with fat loss right away. It can happen, but we're not going to just jump into a fat loss phase. Hell no. Like, I want to see where you're at. I want to see what habits can we build. I want to create momentum. I want to see what you are struggling with so that we can tackle those things first. Here's a cool thing, though. Even though we bring calories up in many, many, many cases, even though a lot of people sometimes feel a little uncomfortable because they're surprised that they have to eat more calories, which, by the way, is not always the case, but, you know, it happens a lot. Here's a cool thing. And usually this is like a let's call it the 4 to 8 week block, depending on where the person is, depending on their experience level and how the body's responding. Hey, maybe the body's not responding the way it's supposed to. Hey, then we need to fix that first. We're not just going to cut calories like crazy. Now, here's the thing. So often, I want to say like almost every single time, when we start to work on those basics, we see people maintain their weight and drop centimeters, inches, right? Around their waist, around their thigh, which are like the main areas where we store body fat, or women mostly like waist and thigh, and men mostly just waist. And of course, anywhere else in our bodies. But with those measurements, you can see where you are actually losing body fat, even if you are not losing weight. That's a big one. I've seen this happen so often. I can't even tell you, like, all the fucking time, almost weekly. You know what? I'm going to say every single week. Every single week, there's at least one person who's lost inches or centimeters, right? And maintained their weight. So that's our double check. That's why we have this, because if you do that every 2 weeks, you don't have to do it every day or every week, but like we do measurements every 2 weeks so that we can put those two together and show you, hey, this is weight, but this is that, you know, measurement. And it's showing you that everything is okay, that you're good. Guess what? We triple check, because even with those two, we store body fat in different places. For me and anyone who knows me, like when I gain a little weight, you'll see that in my face, like right away. And my neck and shit, you know? And as much as we don't measure that stuff, of course, there's going to be areas on our bodies where we store body fat where you're not measuring. And that's okay. So that being said, we also want to take photos every month just to compare side by side. And it's not even for promotion. Yes, we share stories, but that's why we do this, to tell stories and to share with you, hey, you know, these people are going through the exact same stuff that you are going through. And they also overcame that. So that's why we use these photos. But the photos are mostly just there for you and me, right? If we're working together, right? To look at those and to make an objective decision. Because here's the thing, even with the scale weekly, we're not just going to get there, right? We need the scale, average, the measurements, and the photos. So I hope this episode kind of cleared up a couple things. I hope it really helps you maybe stress less about the number on the scale. And hey, maybe next time you're not going to be bothered by it as much anymore. Or let me say this too. Maybe you are, and that's okay too. It's not as easy as me telling you how things work and then you getting on that scale and just instantly being like, well, okay. I've had people legit, because I'm pretty big on like sticky notes and stuff. I've had people legit like put sticky notes on their scale and put stuff like, hey, this is just data. Or not your price tag, or whatever it is, whatever they want to tell themselves. Because you get that reminder every single time. Just data, just data, just data. Not your price tag, not your price tag. It's not your fucking price tag, right? It is not. So use the numbers to get the results that you want. But don't let that number decide your day. Don't allow that number to be the measure of success, because it's not. It's an outcome of your actions, and it's something that you can use to adjust your actions to ultimately reach your goals. But the number on a scale is not the goal. The measurement is not the goal. It's a feeling. It's how you feel. It's how you, you know, your confidence, maybe how you look. Great, right? But ultimately, it's about that, your health, your performance at the gym, outside of the gym, hell, like in bed, you know, like in general, right? Your health, like that's the stuff that matters most. How you feel about yourself and how you are showing up for others. Now, that being said, use the skill still, but use it wisely, the right way. And I've taught you today how to do it. Have a great rest of your week. Once again, thanks for listening. You already know that I'm going to ask you for that quick rating/review on Spotify, Apple. You know where to do it. Go ahead. And then, of course, I will chat to you again on, what is it? Monday. Yeah, I'll see you then. All right, that's it for today. As a thank you for sticking around, I'd love to send you a free copy of my ebook, The Definitive Fat Loss Nutrition Guide. Honestly, if you like the podcast, I'm sure you'll love the ebook. So if you want it, all you need to do is either click the link in the show notes or DM me on Instagram at johanvesters_OCS, and I'll personally send it to you. Thanks again for listening to today's episode. I'll talk to you soon.